In the moonless darkness at Raven's Point, Glyndon King stands perilously close to the cliff edge where her friend Devlin supposedly committed suicide 6 months earlier. When she loses her balance on rain-slicked rocks, a stranger catches her wrist, but instead of pulling her to safety, he dangles her over the 100-foot drop, photographing her terror with his free hand. This is Killian Carson, a man who collects moments of human vulnerability like precious artifacts. When she begs for rescue, he demands payment, whatever he wants, establishing the power dynamic that will define their relationship. The encounter serves as a perfect microcosm of what's to come. Killian's cold calculation paired with flashes of unexpected gentleness, Glyndon's mixture of fear and unwilling attraction, and an uneven power balance that constantly shifts beneath them. His knowledge of her name and past suggests this is no chance meeting, but part of a carefully orchestrated plan. As Glyndon drives home that night, hands trembling on the steering wheel, she doesn't realize she's already caught in Killian's web, one he began weaving long before their paths crossed at that desolate cliff. Brighton Island houses two prestigious but opposed universities, separated by an ivy-covered stone wall. The British Royal Elite University, where Glyndon studies fine arts, embodies old money, with Gothic spires and aristocratic tradition. Across stands Kingsview, with modern architecture rumored to have mafia connections, new money's domain of sleek glass and technology. This division creates a stark social hierarchy. Glyndon belongs to the influential King family, living under her twin brother's shadow, philanthropic Brandon and controlling Landon. Killian's world revolves around the Heathens, a secret society whose brutal initiation rituals suggest organized crime connections. His inner circle includes brother Gareth, the fixer, and cousin Nikolai, a feared military-trained enforcer. The campus setting highlights the vulnerability of young adulthood. For Glyndon, university offers her first taste of freedom. For Killian, it's where he perfects his dual persona, charming student by day, ruthless enforcer by night. Unlike typical romance bad boys tamed by love, Killian is portrayed as a true psychopath, fundamentally different from neurotypical humans. His perspective chapters reveal a mind that processes the world in ways both alien and fascinating. "I've wanted to kill since I was 7," he admits to Glyndon, explaining he restrains these impulses not from moral concerns, but because killing would mean losing control. Control defines Killian and distinguishes him from common criminals. His medical studies represent another form of mastery over the human body. Glyndon disrupts his carefully maintained equilibrium, triggering unfamiliar emotions that both intrigue and frustrate him. When he tells her, "There won't be me without you, little rabbit," it's his version of expressing love, acknowledging she's become essential to his existence. What makes Killian compelling isn't redemption, but self-awareness. He knows exactly what he is without apology. His Red Room of Suffering photographs isn't a habit he'll break, it's integral to his identity. If Killian represents control, Glyndon embodies vulnerability and artistic sensitivity. Living in her talented family's shadow, she struggles with inadequacy that makes her susceptible to manipulation. Her art evolves from safe, conventional pieces to raw expressions of trauma and desire, becoming a metaphor for her emotional journey. After her first traumatic encounter with Killian, she creates a chaotic canvas of black and red, capturing her violation. This style becomes her signature, earning recognition from her previously critical professor. This artistic transformation mirrors her personal journey of embracing darker aspects of herself. Glyndon transcends victimhood through gradual reclamation of agency. While accepting Killian's possessiveness in the bedroom, she challenges him intellectually and emotionally. Her declaration, "I'm yours," represents not surrender, but a conscious choice to accept both man and monster. Her vulnerability extends beyond art. She carries the weight of Devlin's apparent suicide, unaware of its connection to Killian and club rivalries. She also navigates complicated family dynamics, particularly with her controlling brother Landon, who attempts to dictate her romantic choices. This story explores whether obsession can evolve into something resembling love, even in someone incapable of normal emotional attachments. Killian's investigation into Devlin's death rapidly transforms into a violent volcano of obsession, possession, and deranged lust, his twisted version of love. Their relationship challenges romance tropes by never suggesting Killian will become normal through love. Instead, Glyndon must decide whether to accept him entirely, the good, the ugly, and the fucked up. Their dynamic remains explicitly unequal. Killian dominates both physically and psychologically, demanding complete surrender while offering possession rather than partnership. Yet within this dark framework, genuine connection emerges. When Killian arranges fireflies to illuminate his private lake for Glyndon, we glimpse his vulnerability. When he defends her against Devlin, his possessiveness reveals protection alongside domination. Most telling is how Glyndon affects Killian's murderous impulses. Her presence quiets his darkest thoughts. Before me, he used to be an aimless monster. Now, he's my monster, Glyndon reflects, recognizing both the responsibility and power in this role. Beneath the explicit sexuality and manipulation lies a story about generational trauma and healing. Both protagonists carry childhood wounds that shaped their adult relationships. Glyndon feels the pressure of being the underachiever in the talented King family, while Killian's self-image was formed by his father's devastating judgment, he's defective. These wounds create vulnerabilities that manipulative people exploit. Devlin targeted Glyndon's need for validation, while Gareth used Killian's unresolved anger toward authority figures to drive a wedge between them. Yet, wounds become portals to healing when confronted. Killian's breakthrough comes from finally confronting his father, allowing Asher to explain that Killian's childhood behaviors triggered his own trauma from losing his brother to mental illness. Glyndon's healing unfolds through conversations with her mother, Astrid, about her feelings of inadequacy in an extraordinary family. These dialogues suggest that while we cannot erase past trauma, we can integrate it into a new understanding of ourselves. As the story concludes, both protagonists discover if acceptance offers redemption. Glyndon embraces her attraction to Killian's darkness. Not all girls like the hero. I was fated to fall in love with the villain, rejecting narratives where bad boys must be reformed to be worthy. For Killian, redemption comes through channeling his darker impulses protectively. I'd willingly embrace my demons for you. I'd turn into the devil, a monster, and whatever weapon I have to be if it means I can protect you. His love remains defined by possession rather than vulnerability. The epilogue shows their evolution while preserving their essential natures. When Killian proposes at their first meeting spot, he does so with characteristic intensity, taking Glyndon against a tree despite her protests about being in public. Yet he's grown to tolerate her friendships, recognizing her need for connections beyond him. This isn't a conventional happy ending with complete transformation, but one honoring authentic selves while showing capacity for growth within boundaries. The novel suggests we can choose who to become within our fundamental natures, finding someone who sees all of you and stays anyway.